Personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astry tackled the quarterback. He's giving them business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
It's March Madness across the country, but we may or may not talk basketball. It is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast here coming to you live from both Afton, Wyoming, and wherever the heck Aaron Feely is. Aaron, where are you?
I'm in Savannah, Missouri, Dal.
And interestingly enough, even though Afton, Wyoming is literally one of the most rural places on the planet, I still sound like I feel like I'm in the more established place. Even though it's not.
It's that mountain area, Dal. You're higher up. It creates a throne-like mental image, doesn't it?
Or we're just lightheaded all the time. I don't know. It's one of those things. But
we can really pinpoint.
You know, no one really has to convince us to talk about the NFL draft, but let's be honest. The new league year started yesterday. There's already complaints of tampering with Kirk Cousins and Saquon Barkley and all that junk. Your team has the first pick. My team has the second pick. So I had put together such a glorious mock draft, Aaron. It was a perfect. It wasn't just trading back once. It was trading back twice and fleecing not one, but two teams, including the Giants. And now it's all gone because just before we recorded today. It's the 14th of March. The Washington Commanders. Since we've talked, they not only signed Marcus Mariota, who I assume for a backup, but then they just traded Sam Howell. He's going to the Seahawks. So clearly, they're going to select a quarterback. So my mock draft is toilet paper now. It's not even that because it's digital. That would be a mess. Yeah. That would be really messy.
Well, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, Dal. But other than toilet paper desperateness, yeah, obviously Washington. I was wondering what that was going to do to your mock draft because you seem to be more on the old school boat. You want those picks. You want to build up that team. Sam Howell, he looked like he had some promise. He was young, but Washington said, you know what? Drake May and Jaden Daniels might be a calling. And you know what? I went off on a whole spiel last week, Dal, about why I thought the Bears taking Caleb Williams at one was the smartest choice and they should go quarterback and just, you know what, let's roll the dice, let's get one. I'm starting to get a little worried over here, Dal. I won't even lie to you. The Bears are putting out some stuff. There is some stuff going on that does raise a couple of my uh-oh meters.
Well, go ahead and tell me, because I don't know that I'm on the same page as you.
As someone that wants them to take a quarterback, first of all, obviously all the insiders are saying they expect the Bears to take Williams. So that hasn't changed. That still is what it is. But that's what they expect. We have no confirmation, no sources from inside Alice Hall. It's been purely, this is what we think they'll do, but we don't have any word from their management. And then you just got these little tidbits like, the fact that we learned from an insider, and this is from Ian Rappaport, by the way, the Bears have not even engaged in trade discussions for Justin Fields. The reason given is that they haven't been to Caleb Williams' pro day yet, and they don't want to trade the only starting quarterback on their roster they're 100% sure.
The real reason is it seems that since we've talked last, the trade market for Justin Fields is as soft as my midsection. I mean, there's not many teams clamoring for his services, and I think they were hoping to maybe get back a little more than what is actually being offered up. Is that a possibility?
Well, potentially, but as far as we're being told right now, I mean, we don't know what would be offered up because apparently only three teams have inquired about
Justin. That's
what I'm
saying. That's a pretty weak response.
And according to Ian Rappaport, Ryan Poles did not go any further than the opening line in each of them, telling all three teams that called, we're waiting on that one. Nothing is decided yet. We'll call you back later, basically. And yeah, I don't know how I feel about that because obviously, let's say, I mean, best case scenario for those of us that want a new quarterback in Chicago, you still take Williams at one. But now you've let every team that needed a quarterback go get one. There's nobody left.
Right. Well,
so I don't know what you get for Fields, or if you just have to keep him in a two-headed monster locker room.
Well,
you
and I talked about that. It's not necessarily a bad thing to keep him other than the politics of it, because he is still cheap. He's still on his rookie salary. But yeah, that might it might get awkward. I don't know the personality of those guys.
Yeah, obviously, most people still believe the Bears are taking a quarterback. That's still the primary number one assumption by a lot of NFL insiders. It's just, you know, I'm one of those worrisome fans, and I've been a Bears fan long enough to have my reasons to be. And so when stuff starts coming out like they haven't even talked to teams about trading, they're not even doing it, now all the trade partners are gone. Like, why does Ryan Poles insist on forcing all of us Bears fans to live in? Like, genuinely, I wonder if he's not going to make us wait until draft day to tell us what he's doing at quarterback. Like, I'm genuinely convinced we're not going to know if we're trading the pick, if we're trading Fields, are we taking Williams, are we not taking? We're not going to know until late April.
Well, supposedly this time of year is when everything is lies and nobody knows what's going on. Like I said, it's the 14th of March, so we are about 5 weeks away from April 25th, which is the first day of the draft, the first round. And, you know, he could be just being sincere. They don't know because, A, they're waiting for some urgency or some desperation to set in. Or, they may very well wait until draft night because maybe that's what's going to ultimately drive that urgency and or desperation for some team. You know, I look at Washington by comparison. I was thinking it's possible they could want to trade up. It's possible they could trade down. I don't know what they're going to do. Well, now, after they've traded Howell and they've signed Mariota as a kind of steady backup, clearly, we know what they're going to do. They're going to pick a quarterback. That's cut and dried. Now the only issue is, are they going to, you know, spend a fortune to move up one pick and take that Bears pick? At this point, I would say heck no, just based on the fact that alongside the trade articles that have been posted about Howell, it's talking about now how Washington has six picks in the top 100 and seven in the top 102. Someone did a little extra homework on that one. But that sounds like a new coach and a new owner and a new GM that are stockpiling picks for other things, not necessarily to move up. Plus, where there's three quarterbacks available that everyone seems to kind of think that they're going to go 1, 2, 3 or three of the top five or somewhere in that range, I think they're going to settle on one of them. It's just a matter of which one, which one of the two that the Bears don't take or whoever trades up doesn't take at number one.
Yeah, and obviously Washington seems like they're taking almost the opposite approach Poles has taken here in the early goings of free agency. They were the only team with more cap space than the Chicago Bears heading into free agency. And it does feel like Washington is kind of trying to get something established when the incumbent rookie shows up. Mixed with all those draft picks, there was some people that were kind of baffled by the veterans that they were bringing in. Okay, is Washington trying to get young or are they trying to get old? Who knows? What it might be is, as you say, they've got all these picks, so they can draft all the replacements that they want. And they're trying to get a 1 to 2 year little team of veterans to help guide whatever rookie they pick. Obviously, you know, differing opinions amongst many fans with that. But you bring in guys like Austin Ekeler and Bobby Wagner. I mean, you know, those aren't exactly guys that will be with a Drake May or a Jaden Daniels in 5 years. You wouldn't imagine. But are they there to steer the ship for the young rookie now?
Those are actually my two favorite signings. I think Austin Ekeler is a touchdown machine. Washington has struggled in the red zone, and I know he's been kind of dinged up. And then I am hoping that Bobby Wagner is more like the second coming of London Fletcher for Washington and not the Von Miller experiment like we saw in Buffalo, where they're paying him $1 million for a tackle, you know, per tackle for over a 2-year span. where he had 183 tackles last year, which is a career high even at his age, I like to think he still got some gas in the tank. And a lot of people said the same thing when London Fletcher signed with Washington years ago. They're like, oh, he won his ring with the Rams. He's on his way out. London Fletcher, for I don't even remember how many years he was with Washington, 4 or 5, he was the best middle linebacker they had up to that point in a long time, and I would say since. So I like that signing. The other signings, I'll be honest, it's kind of turned into a running joke because I have a brother who's a Dallas fan and a really good friend who's also a Cowboys fan. And all Dan Quinn is doing is raiding the backups from the Dallas defense. He's just signing all of the backups. And they're like, yay, Dan Quinn, he's got money. I'm going to go follow him. I don't like Mike McCarthy. He's a jerk. That's kind of what it seems like. I don't know. I mean, that could just be my opinion. But as of right now, I don't think you're wrong. I think really what's going on is I have kind of an antiquated way of thinking. I'm like, okay, we're going to build through the draft, and it's going to take this many years. And in the NFL right now, it's, oh, you didn't win this year? You're fired. We're going to try again.
Yeah.
Because this other guy did it, and if you can't do it, we're going to go get a guy like that guy.
Yeah. Another big part of it, too, that someone pulled up the other day, and thankfully I've got two things here for you, Dal, and one of them your Commanders are just barely avoiding. Maybe they're aware of the stat. But as someone pointed out on Bears radio not too long ago in local Chicago radio, the reason that many people are so gung-ho about go get the quarterback and many others in Chicago, a lot of the older fans are really of the belief that, well, Fields is good enough, so we should take this first overall pick and build a super team, trade it for a bunch of stuff. Someone pointed out that like 10 years ago, that might have worked. But have you noticed that when teams tend to have these super teams, when you build a bunch of players and you build them around a middling or average quarterback, the team doesn't seem to last as long as it used to. Once guys start needing to get paid in 3 to 4 years, it's amazing how quickly the 2017 Jaguars, the 2018 Bears, the 2017 and 18 Vikings seem to have to dismantle not too long afterwards, because all those players need to get paid, as opposed to the teams like the Chiefs, the Bills, the Brady-led Patriots. You get that one player, and then you can just kind of reload around him, and you stay relevant even in the reload. And so that's why I think a lot of people are starting to make that shift, is that just the way that the cap works and how big contracts are getting now, the contracts are legitimately getting too big. Teams can't stay together for more than 4 years.
Well, and on top of that, it's getting so big, especially for the quarterback. I mean, that thing is going straight up as far as where the elite quarterbacks are getting paid, that it's putting more and more pressure on these drafts. And that's why they're gambling so much. It's like, okay, we're going to let this guy go, even though we've only given him this many starts, because we have to hit on someone awesome, because we have to win while they're on their rookie contract or somewhere in that area, because we're not going to be able to keep them very long. I also don't like the phrase super team. I think every time someone brings it up, it never works. They don't win. I think the super teams are teams that have performed super. The ones that are assembled never seem to really do that well. I go back to, I think the first time I ever heard anybody reference it in the NFL was when the Eagles had Michael Vick, and they kept trying to add all these players, and that didn't work. I think you're right in that the cap and the salaries are to the point now where the draft is going to get more and more important to hit and hit early, which is kind of interesting, because here we are talking about the value of the draft, and yet doesn't sound like anybody's knocking down the door to give the Bears like 5 first-round picks in exchange for the number one pick. Maybe that'll happen, but right now it doesn't seem like it is.
Yeah, Ryan Poles is – now, whether it works or not, I'm not here to tell you what is the correct or the wrong way to do a job.
Whatever the way the Chiefs are doing, that's the way that it works. That's the way that
works. Now, we got polls from the Chiefs. for what that's worth, he is a he was the Kansas City assistant GM when we hired him in 2021, but or 2022, sorry. But not whether it's right or wrong, but Ryan Poles is definitely, in three straight years, one thing I have noticed, very patient. He likes to drag things out. He doesn't want to be rushed into making his decisions and doing stuff. And he's very anti-free agency. He does what you like, what you just said. He said, it's going to take a minute because I'm not spending more than my spreadsheet tells me I'm supposed to spend at each position. I'm not going to overspend. Everything's through the draft. But some of us who miss football because it hasn't been here since February circle March 11th, the tampering period, and go, ooh, free agency's coming up. How incredibly boring is it to be a fan of a team whose GM doesn't like free agency?
Well,
and then won't tell us what he's doing.
I guess it has been kind of slow for the Bears, but again, they're playing a game, liken it to one of those card games that people like to play when they get together and the aces have all of the sway. And so you want to save them. You want to save them to the point in the game when you can start throwing them down one right after another. I think that's what the Bears are doing. They're collecting aces and they've got a bunch. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with them here over the next 5 weeks because, yeah, I think they're going to have a lot of options. I'll be honest, in my mock draft that I've scrapped, one of the big players in that scenario was the Falcons. I had the Falcons wanting to trade up to pick a quarterback, and obviously they decided to go another way. So, again, that fell apart. And you look at the teams that really need and want a quarterback, well, some of them are right behind that number one pick, like Washington. And then there's others that, do we need one? We're not quite sure. I think a team that I was going to say could potentially move up, but then they signed Drew Locke, was the Giants. I think they're ready to move on from Daniel Jones. They signed Drew Locke just to come in and at least compete with him, which I think he will. And so, but once you do that, I think you've kind of said, we're not going to trade up now. You know, maybe I'm wrong reading that, but I thought they were kind of a dark horse team to move up, but now I don't think they are.
So it's funny that you mentioned the Giants, because I actually just heard from Albert Breer yesterday an interesting tidbit. They have called all three. That includes your Washington Commanders. They have been confirmed. They called all three teams in the top three in regards. They said it was, at the moment, just more of a feeling the water type of call, but they wanted to know, hey, what would be the initial asking price? Where would we start talks at to move up to take your pick? And they asked that of New England, they asked that of Washington, and they asked that of Chicago.
Well, I don't think you're doing your job if you don't at least ask.
So I found this very, very funny, though. So Chicago's all split. We talked about that last week. Everyone, it's 50-50. The fan base is, they're going to go to war. They've got their torches. They're ready to roll in on each other. And then Albert Breer drops this knowledge, and he claims that the Bears' call went as follows. The Giants called. They asked, what would it take to get the number one pick? Ryan Poles said, we haven't made that decision yet, and hung up the phone. And naturally, to me, and probably to you, because I'm assuming that your brain goes the same place I does, that sounds like nothing, doesn't it? It sounds like that revealed nothing.
Well,
so naturally, both sides of the argument are convinced that this confirms that it's somehow confirmed that because we hung up the phone, that means we're not trading the first pick. No chance. But because the Giants called and we used the word yet, it also confirms that Justin Fields is staying and we're trading the pick. Just not yet. Somehow both sides are convinced that this absolute nothing conversation confirms what they want to happen is happening.
You know, I guess really what we ought to do is you've got to look at the first round now and decide who is willing to move up or who do you think could, you know, may want to move up to number one. Because like I said, some of these teams are kind of scratching that itch already doing something else. And so you even look at the Patriots at number three. I mean, they went out and got Jacoby Brissett is back. Again, that doesn't necessarily mean they won't pick a quarterback, but they've also got Zappe, who has got a little bit of momentum there.
I'm fairly confident in saying I truly believe New England is going. There's three big names in this draft. I would be shocked if New England at three, with that being their biggest need, doesn't dip the nugget in the quarterback sauce a little bit there.
That's awesome. And you may very well be right. But you look at the rest of the teams coming after those three. So Arizona, supposedly they're in on Kyler Murray. Why, I don't know. I think he is a released player waiting to happen. That's just
they might not have been if they were picking second, but yeah, they realize that there's three big quarterbacks and they're picking fourth, and so they're like, let's not make it awkward. Let's pretend like we love it.
Yeah, or they can just sit there and make the biggest no-brainer selection in the draft and get Marvin Harrison Jr. Or at least that's what people say. But you got them at number four. Okay, the Chargers, number five, they've got their quarterback. Not only that, they got John Harbaugh coming in. They're going to start doing some winning, but they don't need him a quarterback. The Giants, we just talked about it. They do not have a guy that really gives you a ton of confidence. I just said I could see maybe them not moving up, but at the same time, if you look at it and go, we don't, you know, these are basically hedges against not having, you know, starting a seventh rounder for half the year, then yeah, they could move up. The Titans are next. They seemingly seem to like Will Levis. The Falcons obviously just got Kirk Cousins. The Jets supposedly are getting Aaron Rodgers for more than four plays this year. I don't know.
Unless he runs for vice president.
He can do both. Just ask him, I'm sure. You know, but now there's a team at number 11, the Vikings. The Vikings become an intriguing should we move up type of team. And I don't know. I'm just saying it changes that whole conversation when you start looking at it that way, because who is willing to move up and give up a bunch of picks to do so? That has really been shaken up like in a boggle box the last couple of days.
Yeah, every Bears fan's dream is that New England and Washington, if either of them really likes Caleb Williams, if the Bears were to not like him, let's say we go to his pro day. Let's say he says, yeah, in my free time, I like killing homeless people. let's say something.
Wow, that went dark.
you can't do anything with him. You're like, well, I'm not taking this guy. And we try to pawn him off on someone else.
Or a Laramie Tunsil incident where he's smoking pot and a gas mask comes up.
And then, well, the problem with that scenario is that Tunsil's went on to be a very successful NFL left tackle.
I know, but it definitely hurt him on draft night.
But anyhow, let's just pretend. Let's say that we get a reason and we're like, you know what? No, Caleb Williams, we actually don't like him. We're going to stick with Justin. The side of Bears fans to trade the pick all dream of making New England and Washington schizophrenic and worried the other one is going to trade up to one, and so we make them bid war against each other. That's what that side wants to do.
Which is kind of what Chicago did a few years ago when they moved up one spot for Mitchell Trubisky. They overpaid, yeah, and it didn't work out. Not that they're the only
We've seen it firsthand, so we know how it goes down.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Ryan Pace.
I have a picture of my brother, who's a Bears fan. It's such the quintessential, like, rubbing his scalp with his palm when that happened. He looks so distraught, and every so often I'll just pull that picture out and send it to him. It was fun. It was a fun night.
It was really funny to me back in time a little bit, because I didn't actually, like, despise that it was Mitch. People like to have the revisionist history.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, you could have had Mahomes.
Well, so could have everyone.
There's a reason he ended up being the third quarterback. We didn't really know. Now we know that style works, so the Josh Allens and such get picked high now. At the time, people were worried about how he played football in college.
And Trubisky really didn't do that bad for the Bears. Obviously, you would have liked him to have done better as a number three overall pick, but, you know.
Two, excuse me.
Sorry.
But the main reason I was baffled was I genuinely, unironically, was of the belief the Bears had signed Mike Glennon so that we could tank for one more year and get the number one quarterback the next year. Because obviously some people might remember, even though it turned out Mahomes and Watson were in that draft, it was believed at the time that it was a weak quarterback draft, and next year was going to be the quarterback class. The next year, of course, being Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Josh Rosen. So I was actually convinced. I went, oh, we signed Mike Glennon so we could tank for a year and we'll get someone next year.
I think when Mike Glennon thought that too.
When we traded up, I was convinced it was for LSU safety Jamal Adams. I said, oh, we're getting Adams. We decided we couldn't wait. We got to pass the Niners and get – and then they announced Trubisky, and I just kind of said – I wasn't mad. I was shocked because I didn't even think – I thought we were waiting a year. But anyway, that's what happened in 2017, folks. Anyhow, now it's 2024. Mitch Trubisky's still floating around. He re-signed with the Bills. Yeah. He likes Johnson.
Well, they liked him when he was there.
He's a nice guy. But they just hope he doesn't, you know, have to play.
Or if he does, just not very much.
Yeah, maybe like
a couple of games at most.
Josh sprains an ankle, you can play like a game while he heals up.
Yeah. Well, looking at the free agency to this point, has anything jumped out to you that's just been absolutely shocking?
The Bears, after all these connections, the second most cap space. Oh, they need a pass rusher. They need a receiver. Are they going to get the only signing that we made on day one, the big one, the only number that was bigger than, you know, $2 million a year, went to DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
And even that was only $7.5 million a year. I mean, we didn't spend money. Ryan Poles, boring as it is, I'll give him credit and a backhanded compliment at once. On one hand, we need players, Ryan. What are you doing? On the other hand, how rare is it in today's world that something like that says that he has a steadfast rule and then he actually sticks with it every year, even though it's, you know, boring as pavement. Last year, our only day one signing when we had the most cap space in free agency was a middle linebacker. One year later, once again, all this cap, we signed a cheap little running back, and that was it. I mean, this is apparently his MO. And, you know, so I guess I get all excited for free agency, Dal. And how it goes down, and then I go, okay, I guess I'll wait for April then.
I look at it, and I guess, again, I'm kind of an old way type of thinker, so I am surprised Saquon Barkley is going to the Eagles. I mean, that's base. I mean, and he's actually been quoted today as saying how he's forever grateful to Giants fans. Yeah, you go ahead and keep saying that, Saquon. Here in about 6 months, when you're back at the Meadowlands playing in front of them in your Eagles jersey, you're going to change your mind because they hate you now. That is going to be such a hostile crowd when he plays there. I'm just saying, stuff like that didn't used to happen.
Led by Tiki Barber.
Yeah, well, he's a I don't like Tiki Barber, which is funny because he's a twin, and I love Rondé Barber. Tiki Barber's a jerk. But the other thing that kind of surprised me again is a running back.
Remember when Abs?
I'm surprised the Bengals.
The year that Eli Manning then later on went on to win the Super Bowl that
year. I'm surprised the Bengals released Joe Mixon. And
traded.
And now he's actually signed a 3-year extension with the Texans, who I think might be having one of the best off seasons of anyone. They look like they're making all the right moves. But those types of things have been kind of surprising to me. And then a lot of players, man, you know how we as fans sometimes get caught up in regurgitating the same old things like, oh, there's no loyalty anymore, blah, blah, blah. There really isn't with this kind of money being thrown around. This offseason, we've been, what, talking about it for like 48 hours? And it's amazing the amount of changing teams that has taken place, at least to me.
Yeah. Obviously, free agency in full swing. Lots of interesting things there. And as I'm looking at it here, that does leave, though, as an interesting tidbit. I was looking for a specific article that's popped up while we're talking here on my phone on ESPN. NCAA Swimming Association is suing the NCAA over a Title IX discrepancy. So I was trying to look up more details on that, but now I can't find the article.
I haven't heard anything like that.
I sliced the push notification too fast. Anyway, the Bengals opening up a nice little bit of running room this year, though, doubt. So those of us that were Illinois fans, that leaves Chase Brown as the lead tailback in Cincinnati, baby.
And I guess it's always possible they could draft somebody else. I mean, that's always a possibility. I go back to Washington picking up Austin Eckler, and when you pair him with Brian Robinson, who I think was underutilized last year, I really think that could be a great backfield. Might I also say, since you're talking about connections, Austin Eckler to my command skins, his younger brother Wyatt is the starting safety for what team? The Wyoming Cowboys. How cool is that?
Yeah.
I love connections.
Obviously, another connection, as we just pointed out, Brown's brother plays in your division, if you care about such things.
Yeah.
Sidney Brown. So we got the Illinois brothers out there, too.
as we talk about all these movements, one of my it's definitely my favorite meme so far this week came out of Denver. And it shows Russell Wilson, and it says, in honor of the 2 years Russell Wilson spent in Denver, local Subways will have a new special where they sell a foot-long sandwich called the Danger Witch, which costs 37 times more than it should, and you have the option of paying it off over a 5-year period. I thought that was very clever. That's just me, though.
Have you seen the not a meme and actually an option, Domino's option to pay for your pizza outright or pay in monthly installments?
Is that a real thing?
If you order their pizza online, that's one of the options they give you.
My gosh.
My brother and me were absolutely just having a hoot talking about the economy is in such a place that you may finance your Domino's pizza.
Finance your pizza. Well, I've said this before. We're kind of a weird country. There's this especially giant complaint about the youngest generation coming up and how they can't afford a house and their buying power is garbage and this, that, and the other. And then the commercials that come up after that discussion are for DoorDash and Grubhub, which are literally companies that charge you $40 to bring you something you can go pick up for yourself. And as an old crotchety Generation Xer, I can't wrap my head around that. It's like, go get it yourself, and it's $5 or $10, whatever. Well, these days, it's probably more like $18. Better yet, to stay home and make a peanut butter sandwich. But anyway, I think people forgot how to be poor. Aaron, if you have to finance your pizza, you're poor, man. You're broke. You don't need that pizza.
No, there's probably never going to be a point in time when I need a pizza so badly and I'm so broke that I'm like, can I just give you a dollar for the next 13 months? Please, I need this pizza so bad.
It's going to be more than that, Aaron. There's going to be some interest on that pizza. Over the 13 months, that pizza's end up costing you $87, probably, or something like that. We do need to talk about college basketball. Are you ready to make that switch?
After we talk about one final tidbit of free agency, Dal,
okay,
is did you happen to see the mess that Tyler Eifert is causing in Cincinnati right now?
I said, Mixon is traded. T. Higgins wants a trade.
T. Higgins has requested a trade. Tyler Eifert, and we have no confirmation. He's not a reporter. He doesn't work for the organization, any things. He just claims he, quote, still has friends in the Bengals clubhouse. So take this with an enormous grain of salt. Because, I mean, we don't know if he's telling the truth, what's happening, what. But Tyler Eifert alone claims he still has friends in the Bengals clubhouse. Look out, Bengals fans, a T. Higgins and some draft stock to Minnesota for Justin Jefferson trade is being kicked around. That's what Tyler Eifert claims.
So let's say for a moment that that's true. Is that a good trade for either team?
For the Bengals, you reunite Joe Burrow, you give him Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson back. You turn him into that 2019 LSU team all over again.
But what do you have to give up for him, I guess, is my question, other than Higgins?
No, everyone then immediately got rampant. Tyler Eifert claims he doesn't know what the picks are, but thinks it would be two firsts. So you'd give up T. Higgins and two firsts.
That's interesting because, boy, that I'll be honest, that might be kind of intriguing if you're the Bengals. Of course, the Bengals coming off a year where Joe Burrow missed a good most of it. So, I mean, he does need to be there. Otherwise, what's the point?
Well, true. Jake Browning did play very serviceably, and here's a question I have. If you think Jake Browning could be serviceable if Joe Burrow gets hurt, what do you think he could be if you gave him Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson at the same time?
Serviceable. That's why those guys are disserviceable. You can put them in there with two Hall of Fame guys, and they're still going to be serviceable. Hopefully
you throw those screen passes all day long.
Say hopefully he doesn't throw three picks in a game. I think that's basically the hope of most backup quarterbacks when they get out on the field by the coaches and GMs. Try and keep it two or less. Two or less. You can do it. So Selection Sunday coming up this Sunday, and you're right in the middle of Kansas City. I mean, that's like a hotbed of college basketball this time of year. And then when the dance gets going, tell me kind of what the experience is over there, Aaron. What's the energy like?
Well, obviously a lot of Kansas fans here. Obviously,
pounded last night.
One of the reasons I came down here was a new job as well, and one of the commercials we aired all football and basketball season was this barbershop in Kansas City promoting the fact that one of the stars of last year's national championship Kansas team gets his haircut at this barbershop. And I probably watched that commercial 100,000 times just trying to get through these broadcasts. If you've got a Kansas basketball player that gets his haircut at your barbershop, you can turn it into huge money. It's a huge deal here. But not just that. Obviously, K-State is about an hour and a half away. We're about an hour and a half south of Lincoln.
Well, you're right in the middle of Big 12 country, which is the best basketball conference in the country.
Every now and then, Mizzou likes to pretend to be competitive, and they're only 2 hours away over in Columbia. Lots of college basketball hype in this area. You are not incorrect. On the women's side, Notre Dame just won the ACC last weekend for the first time in 7 years. Congrats to the Notre Dame ladies.
Well, for my money, I was very appreciative of the Wyoming teams. They made sure I didn't have to have any anxiety heading into the weekend at all. They were done by Monday and Wednesday, respectively. And not just Wednesday like at night. They were done by 2 p.m. on Wednesday.
That's just taking care of business.
We make a joke in my family because we've been known to go down to Las Vegas for the Mountain West tournament, but we're not rich people. So when we go, we kind of have to, you know, fudge it with the weekend kind of thing. And there's been times we have just started the drive and Wyoming had already lost. Well, like, so our joke is hopefully they don't lose before we get to Cokeville, which, as you know, having lived out here, it's about 50 miles away. Mm-hmm. So this year that totally happened. I have at least two brothers down there right now. They weren't even on the road yet when the Cowboys lost on Wednesday afternoon, but they still went down because it's warm and the Mountain West is loaded, just not for the Cowboys. So very, very considerate of them, I thought.
And that was very kind. And since, I thought you'd appreciate this too, as I was talking to a coworker the other day who asked me what part of Wyoming I am from, because I said I had moved here from Wyoming. All 8 minutes that I lived up there. But no, it was a good 2 years up there.
Yeah.
I said, well, we moved here from Afton, Wyoming. It's in Star Valley. He said, okay, what part of Wyoming is that in? I said, do you know? Oh, you're going to hate this part. I said, do you know where Jackson Hole is?
I understand.
He said, I do. I said, it's about an hour and a half south of there. It's the next town, basically, from Jackson. And his eyes got the size of dinner plates. He went, I thought you said it was like an hour and a half away. I said, yeah, you're following so far.
Well,
where did I lose you?
I actually get a kick out of that because, yeah, Wyoming and a lot of the Intermountain West states, that is a close game. That is as close as we, in fact, that is the closest game that our local school plays. My brother, who's down in Vegas, the one I'm talking about, he's a teacher, and one of his first jobs was in Idaho Falls, which is about 2 hours or hour 45 west of us. And his assistant coach at the time was from Torrington, which is the exact same type of location as Star Valley is, except on the east side of Wyoming. It's 515 miles away. It's these two towns are basically, these two places are about as far away as you can get. But what I'm saying is they absolutely know what it's like to travel for football and basketball and all that. So these two guys get this job in Idaho Falls, and they're coaching this middle school team, and they're on the bus for this game that they have to travel about 40 minutes for. And apparently the kids are whining like rented mules that they have to be on this bus. And Casey, my brother, said, unprovoked, we didn't pry on this, is we both stood up at the same time and just told them to shut up. Because they don't know. But if you know, you know. And Aaron Feely, you lived out here long enough to know, and you know.
I am at least vaguely aware.
Didn't you drive to Lovell in our piece of crap blue minivan?
I sure did, and then drove back to that snowstorm.
Which you have fond feelings for. That thing's a...
Yeah, I don't hate the van.
It's funny because that thing probably hasn't run 2 weeks consecutively since you left.
It misses me, Dal.
Okay, it's for sale. It's cheap.
It craves my love.
Well,
it says, I'll
bet you could have it for. Friend? I'll bet you could have it for a really cheap price. Let's put it that way. Anyway, we're kind of off topic.
All the quarters in my Jeep.
But yeah, I look at the Big 12 and March Madness, and they're going to get a ton of teams in. But yeah, you look at Kansas. Yeah, I mean, they're still good. They're still Kansas. They're still going to have a pretty darn good seed at the NCAA tournament. They've lost a couple of games this year, though, by big margins that make you go, whoa, what happened there? And one of them was just last night. They lost to Cincinnati by 20 points. I think it's their largest loss ever in Big 12 play Big 12 tournament play, which is kind of saying something since Kansas, but you know, they pretty much own the Big 12 when it comes to championships, don't they?
Yeah, a little bit.
As far as basketball championships.
Yeah.
So
obviously on my side of things though, big college basketball area over here. And here I am with my little Midwestern, all my team, Notre Dame, Illinois. Notre Dame has been wildly disappointing at men's basketball this season.
Yeah, they're usually pretty good.
If nothing else, they can usually have like three or four guards that just shoot threes all day, and it keeps you mildly competitive just by, you know, virtue of a bunch of threes.
Well, they're Notre Dame. You just they assume they've got at least some talent on their roster.
Yeah, and they have been wildly disappointing to this point. But speaking of disappointing, Illinois should be making the tournament once again, and I cannot wait for Illinois to get a top four seed. Everyone in the state of Illinois gets super excited, and then they'll probably lose to some 13 seed in round two or
so. So you're saying don't pick Illinois in the first round as a bracket buster? that's coming from you.
Yeah, Illinois is not a in my lifetime, they are a prime to get upset in the first two rounds type of basketball team.
You know,
but it sure is a fun regular season.
While we're on this subject, I do want to throw this out there since we do post this at SVINews.com, where I'm still employed and they used to employ Aaron. There is a bracket challenge. Obviously, there's Selection Sunday, but starting Monday morning, you can go to SVINews.com and sign up and fill out a bracket, and somebody's going to win $500. Aaron, you can win $500. You're not employed anymore. Well, not, at least not by SVI. But you can still wring $500 out of them, and then you can buy the blue van with it. but seriously, folks want to try their hand at it, go ahead and sign up at SVINews.com. Somebody's going to win $500. You have to have them all filled out by Wednesday evening. No late brackets accepted, but SVINews.com, you know, maybe you are listening to this on that side, or maybe you're listening to it through some other means, but go ahead and check it out. Fill out a bracket. You might win some money.
And speaking of winnings, by the way, Dal, I mentioned on our last episode, the gentleman, Bob, who defeated us in Pick'em this year. And won.
Damn you, Bob.
Yeah. I might have weaseled my way out of that, Dal.
Oh.
So he, as I was complaining, as I do amongst my fellow Bears fans, how scared I am that the Bears, like, what if we don't take a quarterback at one? What if we really do just run it back with Fields and have the same team as last year, basically? And he said, I think I am so confident that it is a smokescreen and we're taking Caleb Williams number one. I'm willing to bet anything.
Wow.
So we've increased it a little bit. I said, well, what about that merchandise I'm on the hook for that you won off of Dal and I in Pick'em? Tell you what, if we don't take Caleb Williams, if we take anyone other than Caleb Williams, we trade the pick. We owe him nothing. He
wow.
gets nothing. If we do take Williams, our $100 of merchandise gets bumped up to a brand new Caleb Williams draft night jersey.
When did this get to? When did this get to $100?
Well, it had been both years. You co-run the thing. Dang it, Dal.
Well, I run it like a lot of people. Like I run it like the McCaskies run the Bears, okay?
With a smile on your face and ignorance.
Someone else does it, and I don't really know what's going on. Oh, all right, Aaron. Next subject, your choice. What do you got on your mind?
Oh, Dal gave it to me. Well, you know, Dal, it is mid-March, so you know what's coming up in about 2 and 3 weeks?
Spring football.
Spring football is back in 2 weeks. We'll start with that one. They united the XFL and the UFL. Very excited about that because it's just, for those of us that are football obsessed
junkies.
Now you were a little less into spring football last year. You paid attention to the XFL. I don't know that you truly have the fondness of it that I did, but
I like the defenders and I loved how they would throw lemons on the field and have the
that was very fun.
And have the beer cup snake. I liked how they were doing their own thing. Now I don't even know what's going on. You're going to have to educate me or I'm going to have to, I don't know, read something.
Well, it's a little easy, but you'll appreciate this. So they merged with the USFL, and according to The Rock at his press conference that he did on ESPN, the business model for the new combined UFL, they took 4 XFL teams, including your defenders, and 4 USFL teams for this first season. Using XFL connections to a lot of the stadium rights they had. Basically, the reason they merged, the USFL had a better business plan and was making money. The XFL had established money because their owners were all billionaires.
Yeah, they're all rich.
So they wanted to combine those efforts. They said, let's take our money and combine it with your knowledge of making money, and let's basically try to, you know, create a league that's not going to fall on its face and die in 2 years. So that's kind of what they did. However, part of that deal is that now the USFL, one of your biggest complaints was that they had all those hubs.
I hated that all the games were in Birmingham. I hated that.
So now the four USFL teams all do have their own stadium in their own home city.
Good.
So thank you, XFL. And The Rock even stated, now we're really going to have to figure out what we're doing with the T-shirt wars if this goes down. His statement is two future goals for the combined UFL. Expansion, he wants to get to 16 teams by either next year or 2 years from now. That could be pretty nice. Get up to 16. Basically just bring all the teams that they just disbanded back and have 8 XFL, 8 USFL. I don't know where I'm going to find 8 more people, Dal, so that we can have a person per team still.
I don't either. I don't know where you're going to find those 8 people either.
But I found this part very interesting, Dal. And tell me how you would feel about this. He claims that their biggest goal, their number one goal, because he always said his dream for the XFL was giving players a shot, right? He wants another avenue for players to get back to the NFL. He claims that he is currently trying where in a number of years when they've got enough teams that eventually with the NFL's help, they will expand to basically 32 teams and they're going to become affiliated with the NFL as a minor league.
So kind of like the Premier League in soccer in Europe.
No.
So, like teams move up and move down based on...
No. Here's what he wants. He basically wants to become like AAA in baseball.
Okay.
He wants each team in the UFL to have an NFL affiliate. So, basically, when you know how NFL teams bring in those 75 guys for their camp roster, and then you have to trim that to 53?
Right.
You can have, like, 15 on the practice squad. Basically, he's saying instead of doing that, instead of having these practice squad guys and stuff, take your excess players when you trim from 90 to 53 and just send 40 of them down to your spring affiliate. And then in the spring, those guys that you otherwise would have had to cut, you still own the rights to them as part of your minor league. So basically the Chicago Bears would, whatever, they would also own the St. Louis Battlehawks and basically it would work like baseball and hockey.
Hmm.
They would have, okay, hey, you know what? We just had to cut one of our wide receivers. Thankfully, we've had this sixth-round pick who's been playing in the spring league for 2 years. Let's bring him up. He's going to be on the Bears next year. And that's what The Rock claimed his future vision for the UFL would one day be.
Well,
and he's hoping to get it done within the next 5 years, if possible.
That would be.
I think that could be interesting.
If it can pull it off, I think it would be great. I was going to make some kind of a farm system NCAA joke, but I don't really know what it is because it's basically already kind of a farm system for them. But it's varying levels of success and things like that. But you look at all those guys. I mean, I always feel bad for the guys that. Like come in and they play 2 or 3 preseason games and they do really well and then they're gone and you don't know where they end up. And maybe once in a while you'll catch a name and they get picked up by somebody and then released. And this person on, you know, on the transaction sheet for the day is released and they sign this guy. If those guys can actually have a pipeline that at least gives them a shot and they can get paid more consistently, yeah, I'm all for it. I think that's a great goal. I hope it can work towards that. I think it's just going to be a steep climb because, let's be honest, there's the NFL and then there's everything else when it comes to money. So they're going to have to obviously get into the minds and hearts of the owners of the NFL teams, which is not always or very easy to do.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot that you and I probably don't even understand going on in all their negotiations. But
no way, we know it all.
Before any of that takes place, hey, we got a season and it kicks off in March. My Arlington Renegades came back. My New Orleans Breakers did not. So if nothing else, it made it pretty easy to figure out which team I would be supporting.
And your Breakers merchandise that you wear somehow got kind of unique and hipster and valuable.
I don't own any Breakers merchandise.
Well, you should have. You should have. Or else I better be careful because I know I'm supposed to buy somebody something and I haven't done that. For all I know, I'm supposed to buy you a Breakers shirt. I do want to throw this out there since we were saying how smart we are. One of the things that came across this week, the women's NCAA tournament, I don't remember the coach's name, but she went viral. The Utah State women's coach, she went viral the first of the week because the Aggies got blown out in the first round of the women's conference tournament. And someone asked her, you know, what do you want to do to help build on next year? Something along those lines. And she said, I'm not going to be here next year. She basically said, I've already been fired. And she beat the school to the punch on announcing it. She just did it in the post-game press conference and basically said, don't ask me how I'm going to rebuild the team because I'm not the coach anymore. And then afterwards, when all the reporters were like, wow, she said, I assume that's the last question. And then she left, which she was right. Anyway, I thought that was pretty funny. But I was looking at her contract, and she made about $206,000 a year to coach Utah State, the women in Logan there. She had 1 year left on her contract, so she had already made $600,000+, plus, at least in salary, and then they were going to owe her, obviously, $206,000 because they fired her before her contract was out. She won three conference games in three seasons. I could literally do this, Aaron. I could literally be the coach of a non-win. I don't want to use disparaging terms. A non-winning women's NCAA team, and I can do that for you for 3 years. And you pay me $800,000. I will do that for you. I can do it. I'm just saying the bar is so low for some of these jobs. And then you get paid to not, coach. It's the best job in the world. It's just, I don't understand. I mean, and I'm talking women's basketball here. So clearly the men's coaches, most of them are making more than that. I'm saying I'll go. I can commute from here. It's only 2 hours away. I could commute. I could even buy something with, you know, really good snow tires and four-wheel drive for $206,000 a year. I look at some of these coaches and what they get paid and then what. And I understand that's pennies for a lot of programs in this country. But for people like you and me, I look at that and go, they say the sports is results based, and I argue that a lot of times it's not. She's going to make $832,000 to win three conference games in 3 years. That's amazing to me. Anyway, that was on my mind.
Yeah. speaking of women's basketball, though, Dal. Obviously, Caitlin Clark became the all-time leading NCAA scorer in basketball history. And then I found out she decided she is declaring for the draft one season early with 1 year of eligibility left.
And why wouldn't she?
And so I immediately raced to my ESPN app to figure out where the Sky are drafting this year. And as it turns out, we're picking sixth. So I'm guessing we're not getting Caitlin Clark.
What's interesting is the game that happened, they were saying that was the most expensive ticket in women's basketball history, NCAA or pro, I think the lowest ticket prices were like $400 to get into that game because everybody wanted to see it happen. So, yeah, that's pretty impressive. I will say this though, I don't like the comparisons to Pistol Pete. And not because it's a man versus woman thing, but because it's a three-pointer versus non-three-pointer thing. Pistol Pete had 0 3-pointers. I don't like it when people bring up, oh, they this person passed Pistol Pete. It's like, and until they're averaging 50 points a game without shooting a 3-pointer, I don't want to hear it. That guy was a virtuoso with the basketball. Just give him his credit. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and then the second thing I was going to bring up now is 1 week after spring football kicks off, WrestleMania season is here.
Yes. What is going on at WrestleMania?
We're into the two-day WrestleMania era. And I remember when in 2020 I fully convinced that they were only doing a two-day Mania because they needed to split it in half because of the COVID thing. But they've gone – it's been 2 days ever since.
Why not?
So, yeah, I mean, if nothing else, it gives you the chance to do fun little things like have two main events.
Are you going?
I am not going. It is in Philadelphia this year.
That's not very far. You're coming from Wyoming. That's a short drive now.
Oh, potentially, but lots of fun things happening this year, Dal. I'm actually pretty excited about it. A lot of dark stuff happening over WWE's head, but
yeah.
As someone who's not in the middle of being sued, I don't have to worry about that. I just have to worry about watching and enjoying myself.
Well, I'm glad to know that's the case, that there are no current legal cases against you.
But obviously the big ones are The Rock is going to be wrestling this year in the main event of night one, teaming up with his cousin, Roman Reigns, the WWE champion. They will wrestle Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. And then Cody and Roman, the following night in the main event of night two, will wrestle one-on-one for the WWE title. It's been a pretty fun story. I've enjoyed it. Obviously, lots of people are excited that The Rock is back. And this is subtle. This is one that maybe people that aren't actively keeping up with wrestling might not know or care about. But the fact that The Rock is going heel. They have The Rock as the villain.
He is? Thing. How can he do this?
The Rock cutting loose and being allowed to go full insult at the audience again for the first time since the 90s has been some of the funny.
I would actually like to see him. I would like to see him go heel in his movies. He's always like the good nice guy. In fact, I watched Skyscraper the other day, and he has an artificial leg in that movie. If you haven't watched it,
yeah.
But he's like this really devoted dad and former SWAT officer. But you know, he's climbing this burning 200-story building to save his family. I want to see The Rock as the Terminator, the first one, like the first Arnold one. I want to see him mean now that you're saying this. Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
Well, if you just want to see a little taste of what it might be on, you can tune in.
I'm going to.
I think it's still on USA Network, right? Anyhow. Yeah, you can turn on a little bit of SmackDown. He's been on there every week, and he has been hilarious now. I love it. Cutting a promo on the Arizona crowd, pointing out a stat that the state of Arizona leads the nation in meth and crack use. And then I don't know if we're supposed to say this, if we're posting it on the SBI media thing. Maybe I'll add a bleep.
Yeah, careful.
But him... just casually, because you know The Rock, he's full of charisma. He can throw his clever little insults into the middle of sentences, like 5 minutes later, and it's just fantastic. But just casually throwing out there as he's addressing the Arizona crowd a little bit later on in the promo, and referring to each and every one of them as cactus humping crack whores.
You know what it reminds me of is he hosted Saturday Night Live, and one of the skits they did was two wrestlers recording promos.
Yes.
That is
Coco Beware.
Yes, that is one of the funniest skits. Bobby Moynihan is the guy he's going, and he goes like ultra personal on all the promos. It's hilarious. Go Google it. It's worth your time. But
also special shout outs to his excellent bit where when Cody Rhodes initially challenged him one-on-one for night one, and The Rock changed the match, saying, you think you just get to go one-on-one with The Rock? Everyone thinks they can go one-on-one with The Rock. Everyone wants to go one-on-one with The Rock. Ask every woman in this arena. They all want to go one-on-one with The Rock. That's good stuff. Thank you, The Rock. Appreciate that.
I guess. Well, on that note,
yeah, that should be good.
We are out of time.
I am looking forward to some WrestleMania, Dal.
I'm looking forward to it for you.
Thank you.
I hope you make a road trip. Go and do it. Come on.
Also, this year, opening day for baseball season's in 2 weeks, and I'll actually be in Chicago. My wife surprised me. My birthday, March 28th, Dal, is opening day.
Oh, cool.
And my wife surprised me to Chicago. We're going to go watch the White Sox on my birthday for opening day. Should be a good time.
That should be a lot of fun. Shout out to Mackenzie. She's awesome.
She is the best. Thankfully, Detroit Tigers, so we might win.
Yeah, you might have a chance.
And then we can gracefully forget that baseball ever existed like a month later when we're sitting there at 5-22.
And you get, well, you're going to be watching spring football anyway, so.
That's true. And so.
Well, Aaron, we are out of time. Again, we try.
Well,
and do,
Dal,
we're trying to
do our, everything since 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we're trying to do our podcast every week. Sometimes we succeed, sometimes we don't. But hopefully,
yeah, obviously, some time zone differences leads to the occasional issue.
Yes.
But we have to get back on top of it.
So yeah, we'll catch you next time, whenever that may be. Hopefully next week here at SVINews.com. Aaron, where else can they find this podcast?
They can also find it on YouTube and on Spotify and Podbean if you just happen to have the Podbean app downloaded onto your phone. And like you said, on SVINews.com/podcasts, which is the easiest way to find us because all three versions, they're just right there, Dal.
All right, cool.
They're just right there for your viewing and listening pleasure.
It's an easy way to make your commute, listening to us.
Absolutely. When you're having to drive over to Idaho Falls Monday through Friday
to find cheap cereal because where they sell it here is too dang expensive, that's the struggle.
Can I tell you, Dal, the true struggle after leaving Wyoming is that at the very least, at the little local Brawlums grocery store there in Afton,
Brawlums. You've already forgotten how to say it.
It's not quite Walmart. It doesn't have all. But it has what you need, right?
Yeah, of course.
But it did have very nice fresh beef and meats.
Well, it's Wyoming. We have cows.
So, well,
more cows than people, actually.
There's plenty of cattle out where we're at. There's a bit of a
I guess so.
Amish population.
Kansas City barbecue. I'm jealous.
But yeah, in the town we live, we have our little local in Savannah grocery store, and its beef is fairly mid. I actually have to go into St. Joseph about 15, 20 minutes, a huge haul of a drive. I can't believe I have to make it. And go to a butcher or even Walmart seems to have better meats.
So what you're saying is be dang grateful
out
here.
I had that problem in Wyoming.
Saying,
sometimes I just walked outside and took a bite out of the neighbor's cattle that were roaming around.
Yeah, just right there. That's fresh. We'll catch us next time. I'm Dal. He's Aaron. And this is the Unsportsmanlike Conduct Podcast.